Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for our daily magazine show, As It Is, and other programs designed for English learners.
Hello from the Voice of America's Learning English branch in Washington. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz, and this is As It Is, a free daily 30-minute program that helps you learn everyday American English. It's Sunday, January 17th, 2016. Today on the program, we have a special report on the future of Bitcoin, the completely digital currency that is not issued by any government. Its value is based on market use and the trust of its users. It's used by terrorists and drug dealers, but also by large companies like Microsoft and Overstock.com. Then, we will present words and their stories. And finally, as we do every Sunday, we will present People in America. This week, part one of our two-part report on a man who changed the world, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Tomorrow on this program, we will bring you part two. So, you can see, as always, we have a lot for you today. We're on the radio, on the web, and we come to you on a podcast. We are wherever you are. We're the Voice of America. Now, a special report on the future of Bitcoin, the digital currency used by terrorists and drug dealers, as well as major companies like Microsoft and Overstock.com, and private individuals who order a pizza. Here is Mary Gottschall.
Bitcoin was a currency created in 2009 by a mysterious software developer. He calls himself Satoshi Nakamoto. No one has ever met him, and it is not clear if he is one person or several people. Bitcoin does not use printed money. It is digital only. The currency is created on computers by a community of people across the globe. Anyone can join that network or group, according to Coindesk.com. This network processes transactions made with the digital currency. Bitcoins are stored in a digital wallet over the internet or on the user's computer. There is not an unlimited amount of bitcoins. Nakamoto set up rules to limit the currency to 21 million bitcoins, reports Coindesk. With bitcoins, there are no banks or fees. Users do not register with their real names. Merchandise can be bought without the user showing her or his identity. Bitcoins are not taxed or regulated anywhere in the world. Bitcoins have become the currency of choice for people online buying drugs or other illicit activities, reports Money.com. For example, Silk Road was a major online market that used bitcoins to sell illegal drugs. It was shut down in 2014 by U.S. regulators. Bitcoins are also being used by ISIS terrorists to fund operations, according to Ghost Security Group. It is a counter-terrorism network that focuses on the internet and social media. Morgan Wright is a cybersecurity expert and senior fellow at the Center for Digital Government, a national research and advisory institute on information technology policies. He told Fox News that terrorists are increasingly using 21st century technology to transfer assets and finance their operations. Terrorists need anonymity, Wright told Fox News. Countries have gotten very good at tracking terror financing in the years since 9/11. Networks have looked for new ways to do it, and it appears they've found it in Bitcoin. Despite this dark side of the new currency, Bitcoins have their supporters. More and more merchants are beginning to accept Bitcoins. Some people buy Bitcoins as an investment, hoping they'll increase in value. There are many online marketplaces that allow people to buy and sell Bitcoins using different currencies. The price of Bitcoins on online exchanges has fluctuated widely, which has led to speculation in the digital currency. In 2009 and early 2010, Bitcoins had no value at all, said Wired. Then in late 2013, it reached a high of $1,216. As of January 6, 2016, the price of one Bitcoin was about $434. Wired wrote that Bitcoin usage has hit a record high. You can also send Bitcoins using mobile apps. This is similar to sending cash online. It is fast and convenient, and you can set up a Bitcoin address in seconds, with no fees and no questions asked. Some people like Bitcoins because they are not controlled by one central authority. Traditional currencies, such as the U.S. dollar, are controlled by the government's central bank. The bank can print more money as part of government policy. Bitcoins, in contrast, are controlled by the people who use them and are viewed as more democratic by their supporters. The Washington Post said Bitcoins were one of the six technologies in 2015 that would change the world. The newspaper wrote that the technology behind Bitcoins, called blockchain, is an almost incorruptible digital ledger that can be used to record practically anything that can be digitized. It has the potential to transform the lives of billions of people who lack bank accounts and access to the legal and administrative infrastructure that we take for granted, wrote the Post. Bitcoins continue to grow in popularity worldwide. Juniper Research said there were 1.3 million Bitcoin users last year, and it estimates there will be 4.7 million users by the end of 2017. Wired said Bitcoins are thriving like never before, and some say this is the year it finally reaches the mainstream. I'm Mary Gottschall.
Thanks, Mary. That's our program for today. Words and Their Stories and People in America are coming up next. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz at the VOA Learning English headquarters in Washington. I hope you'll join us again tomorrow as we help you learn everyday American English with another broadcast, webcast, and podcast edition of As It Is from the Voice of America.
Coming up, more programs designed for English learners. You can read and listen to our reports and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
Hello, welcome to the VOA Learning English Program, Words and Their Stories. Each week, we explain how to use common words and expressions in American English. Today, we talk about a seemingly simple four-letter word, will. But do not be fooled. The word will is a strong noun and a powerful verb. As a verb, will requires you to do something. If you say you will take action, you have promised to do it with no excuses, no ifs, ands, or buts. As a noun, will is the determination to do something, demonstrating a strength or firmness of purpose. Someone who has a strong will is someone who does not give up. Americans often say someone who is determined has an iron will. On the opposite side, someone who has lost their will has given up. It is a very serious situation when a person has lost their will to live. These people need lots of love and support. Will can also be a person's choice or desire to do something. For example, do you have the will to learn the English language? If you are listening to this show, I hope your answer would be yes, I do. But perhaps you are being forced to learn a foreign language. In this case, you can say you are studying against your will. This will make learning much more difficult. In a perfect world, you would think that all governments represent the will of the people. But sadly, some do not. They may reflect the will of the people with the most money, power, or influence. To do something at will means to do what you want when you want. For example, a woman could say this about a former boyfriend. He thought he could walk in and out of my life at will. Ugh, the nerve! As a noun, the word will can mean a legal document. In a will, a person states who should receive their possessions after he or she dies. There is also a document called a living will. This is a written statement. It explains a person's wishes concerning their medical treatment, should they not be able to state this information themselves. For example, a person may write in a living will that they do not wish to be kept alive with life support machinery. Such equipment can keep a person breathing and their heart beating even when they are unable to communicate. The next word is willpower. Willpower is the personal strength you have that enables you to do something difficult. Willpower is the ability to control oneself. For example, it takes great willpower to give up cigarettes. To have willpower in life is important because life can be difficult. But if you do find yourself in a difficult situation, do not give up. As they say, where there's a will, there's a way. This saying means that having inner strength will help you overcome any problem life throws at you. Even with willpower, life can present you with many difficult situations. For example, being in a battle of wills can be difficult. A battle of wills is when two people or groups are equally determined to get what they want. A battle of wills can get very heated. But if you find yourself in a battle of wills, remember, you have the free will to walk away. Free will is a person's freedom to choose for themselves. It is the power of acting without the help of God or luck. A common word we use for this concept is self-determination. In a popular song titled Free Will, the hard-rocking band Rush sings that if you choose not to choose, you still have made a choice. I'm Ana Mateo, and I will be back with another Words and Their Stories.
Today, Warren Shear and Shep O'Neill begin the story of the life of civil rights leader Martin Luther King, Jr.
It all started on a bus. A black woman was returning home from work after a long, hard day. She sat near the front of the bus because she was tired and her legs hurt. But the bus belonged to the city of Montgomery in the southern state of Alabama. And the year was 1955. In those days, black people could sit only in the back of the bus. So the driver ordered the woman to give up her seat. But the woman refused, and she was arrested. Incidents like this had happened before, but no one had ever spoken out against such treatment of blacks. This time, however, a young black preacher organized a protest. He called on all black citizens to stop riding the buses in Montgomery until the laws were changed. The name of the young preacher was Martin Luther King. He led the protest movement to end injustice in the Montgomery City bus system. The protest became known as the Montgomery Bus Boycott. The protest marked the beginning of the civil rights movement in the United States. This is the story of Martin Luther King and his part in the early days of the civil rights movement.
Martin Luther King was born in Atlanta, Georgia, in 1929. He was born into a religious family. Martin's father was a preacher at a Baptist church, and his mother came from a family with strong ties to the Baptist religion. In 1929, Atlanta was one of the wealthiest cities in the southern part of the United States. Many black families came to the city in search of a better life. There was less racial tension between blacks and whites in Atlanta than in other southern cities. But Atlanta still had laws designed to keep black people separate from whites. The laws of racial separation existed all over the southern part of the United States. They forced blacks to attend separate schools and live in separate areas of a city. Blacks did not have the same rights as white people and were often poorer and less educated.
Martin Luther King did not know about racial separation when he was young, but as he grew older, he soon saw that blacks were not treated equally. One day, Martin and his father went out to buy shoes. They entered a shoe store owned by a white businessman. The businessman sold shoes to all people, but he had a rule that blacks could not buy shoes in the front part of the store. He ordered Martin's father to obey the rule. Martin never forgot his father's angry answer. If you do not sell shoes to black people at the front of the store, you will not sell shoes to us at all. Such incidents, however, were rare during Martin's early life. Instead, he led the life of a normal boy. Martin liked to learn, and he passed through school very quickly. He was only 15 when he was ready to enter the university. The university, called Morehouse College, was in Atlanta. Morehouse College was one of the few universities in the South where black students could study.
It was at the university that Martin decided to become a preacher. At the same time, he also discovered he had a gift for public speaking. He soon was able to test his gifts. One Sunday, Martin's father asked him to preach at his church. When Martin arrived, the church members were surprised to see such a young man getting ready to speak to them. But they were more surprised to find themselves deeply moved by the words of young Martin Luther King. A church member once described him, "The boy seemed much older than his years. He understood life and its problems."
Martin seemed wise to others because of his studies at the university. He carefully read the works of Mahatma Gandhi, the Indian leader and thinker. Martin also studied the books of the American philosopher Henry David Thoreau. Both men wrote about ways to fight injustice. Gandhi had led his people to freedom by peacefully refusing to obey unjust laws. He taught his followers never to use violence. Thoreau also urged people to disobey laws that were not just and to be willing to go to prison for their beliefs. As he studied, Martin thought he had found the answer for his people. The ideas of Gandhi and Thoreau, nonviolence and civil disobedience, could be used together to win equal rights for black Americans. Martin knew then that his decision to become a preacher was right. He believed that as a preacher, he could spread the ideas of Gandhi and Thoreau. Years later, he said, "My university studies gave me the basic truths I now believe. I discovered the idea of humanity's oneness and the dignity and value of all human character."
Martin continued his studies in religion for almost 10 years. When he was 22, he moved north to study in Boston. It was in Boston that Martin met Coretta Scott, the woman who later became his wife. Martin always had been very popular with the girls in his hometown. His brother once said that Martin never had one girlfriend for more than a year.
But Martin felt Coretta Scott was different. The first time he saw her, Martin said, "You have everything I have ever wanted in a wife." Coretta was surprised at his words, but she felt that Martin was serious and honest. A short time later, they were married. Martin soon finished his studies in Boston and received a doctorate degree in religion. The young preacher then was offered a job at a church in Montgomery, Alabama.
Martin Luther King and his wife were happy in Montgomery. their first child was born. Martin's work at the church was going well. He became involved in a number of activities to help the poor, and the members of his church spoke highly of their new preacher. Coretta remembered their life as simple and without worries. Then, a black woman, Rosa Parks, was arrested for sitting in the white part of a Montgomery City bus. And Martin Luther King organized the protest against the Montgomery bus system. Martin believed it was very important for the bus boycott to succeed, more important even than his own life. But he worried about his ability to lead such an important campaign. He was only 26 years old. He prayed to God for help and believed that God answered his prayers.
Martin knew that his actions and his speeches would be important for the civil rights movement. But he was faced with a serious problem. He asked, "How can I make my people militant enough to win our goals while keeping peace within the movement?" The answer came to him from the teachings of Gandhi and Thoreau. In his first speech as a leader, Martin said, "We must seek to show we are right through peaceful, not violent means. Love must be the ideal guiding our actions. If we protest bravely, and yet with pride and Christian love, then future historians will say, 'There lived a great people, a black people, who gave new hope to civilization.'" With these words, a new movement was born. It was nonviolent and peaceful. But victory was far from sure, and many difficult days of struggle lay ahead.
You have been listening to the VOA Special English Program, People in America. Your narrators were Warren Shear and Shep O'Neill. Our program was written by William Rogers. Listen again next week at this time when we will complete the story of civil rights leader Martin Luther King, Jr.